This is a reading from Genesis 1:31 to 2, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, hello everyone. I am super excited to be back with you all. I'm Danny Kilgore, and as Sister Bohr said, I serve as the lead pastor here. And I get to introduce to you all Elder Tim, who is wrapping up our summer series, The Gift of Time, Be Intentional. For the past 4 weeks, we have been in this summer series where we have studied what does it look like to be intentional about our time. We've talked about how we can be intentional with our preparation. We can be intentional about our observation. And last week, Elder Tim, he was leading you all in what does it look like to be intentional with our service. And today, he's going to wrap up our sermon series with one more. And so if you all are new and you don't know who Tim is, you are in for a treat because he preached last week. And his sermon series was a topic that it didn't make sense for me to jump in. I was like, I don't know, Tim, I feel like you should preach this one too. And he's like, is that because you want me to do it, or is it because you don't want to do it? I was like, no, well, I mean, I feel like it just, it belonged together. It's like peanut butter and jelly. And so he was very gracious in agreeing to allow those two, these two sermons to be cooked together. And so after the worship team leads us into another worship song, he is going to come up and close our sermon series with this final message. So would you all join us as we continue into our worship and then do us the honor in leading us into our sermon with Brother Tim.
Good morning, church. As Pastor Danny said, I am Tim Zener Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. I'm soon to be an elder here at Church Without Walls. And I am on the teaching team. Let me just get set up here. Excellent. Why don't we start off in prayer? Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts, our ears, so that your word will rest on us and we will get out of it what we need and what you intend. And all God's people said, amen. Let's start things off with a word from Sir John Lennon.
Oh,
So I am a Beatles fan. I like the innovation. I like the songwriting. I like the garage band harmonies. I could literally spend a weekend just kicking back, listening to the Beatles. But my appreciation for the Beatles is not why I played you that song. The song I'm Only Sleepy is one of the most subversive songs in the Fab Four catalog. More subversive than Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. More subversive than whatever is being played backwards at the end of Strawberry Fields. Because it is totally antithetical to what we have been taught makes us a productive member of society. Our society tells us that to be validated, you must be on the go. To have value, you must not only be a participant, but a victor in that rat race I talked about last week. You must contribute to the hustle and bustle engine of a system rooted in production for use. If you do not do any of these things, if you are not any of these things, you are a burden on that very society. We believe we were made to work. And to too many of us, that means working ourselves to the ground or into an early grave. And when it comes to doing the Lord's work, whatever that looks like, whether it be spiritual work, vocational work, the need to drive ourselves relentlessly increases exponentially. To usher in his kingdom is non-stop work. As Pastor Danny reminded us, we are at the end of our sermon series, Be Intentional, the Gift of Time. Throughout this series, Pastor Danny and I have been giving you all some things to think about over that July sabbatical. Pastor Danny led us off on preaching the importance of intentional preparation and how to use our time with intentionality and why we shouldn't let anxiety get the best of us. Then she spoke on intentional observation, and she asked, do we see what God sees? And she challenged us to take a deep look at ourselves and the world around us in order to bring about and make known the kingdom of God. And then last week, I encouraged us to be intentional in how we think about our acts of service and do a self-inventory on whether we are serving with the radical humility modeled to us by Jesus. And after all of that, after all that we have put on your plate, I'm here to ask you one more thing. One more thing to be intentional about during that time in July. Be intentional about rest. We are busy people. We got jobs. Some of us have kids. And we also have the magnificent burden of being salt and light to the world. And we take all this very seriously, as well we should. But if we are not careful and do not give ourselves the rest that is demanded of our human minds and bodies, not only can we break down, but we run the risk of making it about the work and not about God. The title of today's sermon is Do Not Disturb, Spiritual Clarity in Progress. Now, when I talk about rest, I don't just mean shutting down and decompressing. Of course, that is part of it. But what I really want us to understand is that by resting, we give ourselves the chance to rejuvenate not only physically, but especially spiritually. And we do that by giving ourselves space to maintain and or gain spiritual clarity that reminds us that Christ is at the center of everything that we do. Even if in our career, in our careers that seem secularly focused, when we know Christ is at the center, that Christ is who fuels it, it affects the decisions we make. It affects how we relate to our coworkers, our clients, our students. It means even when the nature of our work seems separate from our spiritual lives, God is at work in it. But we have to give ourselves space to remain aware of that. Otherwise, we're like the Roomba vacuum, mindlessly doing our work. And when we bump into an object, it just redirects us into another direction. And we give no thought to why we hit an obstacle. Or we get something caught in our gears. And rather than taking the time to figure out what's gumming us up, we just keep stressing our motors, trying to keep working. You see, rest is not just about doing nothing. It's giving ourselves the space to do the work, to figure things out, to uncomplicate some things that might be happening for us. It reminds us that we're not just toiling. Our rest gives us time of gaining and or maintaining the spiritual clarity that Christ is at the center of everything we do. There is nothing wrong with hard work. And if we are honest, in order for the results of our work to be the best that it can be, it requires hard work. And I'm going to suggest something crazy. And I know you're thinking, Tim, suggest something crazy? Just another Tuesday. When it comes to work, we should think of ourselves as heavy-duty machinery. Let's say a jackhammer. A jackhammer has a full speed impact rate of 1,440 BPMs, that is blows per minute. I know y'all needed to know that. Its main function is to break up pavement, hammer through concrete. That is what it is built to do. And jackhammers are very good at what they do. But like all things, especially heavy machinery, you cannot be hammering away for hours and hours and hours and days and days. You cannot operate a jackhammer forever, because if you do, then bad things are going to happen. First and foremost, it will have a negative impact on your body. So I did some research on operating a jackhammer. I had to do research because I've never actually run a jackhammer. I don't see in my near future me using a jackhammer. So I had to do the research. One of the rules to operating a jackhammer is that you do it no more than 40 minutes a day. And that's because the shaking and pulling of the jackhammer can damage nerves and muscles and blood vessels in your hands and in your arms. It can jack you up, Jack. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. That's right. I'm getting good at those. We don't like the other, of course, problem you have by overworking a jackhammer is that it can overheat and break down, causing you to either have to incur the cost of repairing it or replacing it. And if you're like me, you don't like wasting money. I don't want to have to repair something or replace something that I didn't take care of the first time. And we definitely don't want to have to pay medical bills and go through the arduous and painful process of healing. So We take care of ourselves by taking care of our jackhammer. We give it the breaks it needs to ensure that it stays in good condition and is ready for the next time we need it. And that's true of all of our tools, all of our equipment, from our jackhammer to our electric toothbrush. We don't want to burn them out. We should be so caring about our physical and spiritual health. But for too many of us, burning the candle at both ends is a way of life. It is what we are conditioned to do by the culture. For followers and non-followers alike, I get it. We are trapped in, beholden to the demands of a system that says idle hands are the devil's workshop. Religious language used to insinuate that if we are not working, then we are subject to fall into sin. And for those of us who are followers, some of us take the Protestant work ethic overboard. For those of you who are not familiar with the Protestant work ethic, that is a Calvinist theory that says hard work and frugality are the way to salvation. And though that might be a great motivating factor, at what point does the work get in the way of the salvation? I would argue when it becomes idolatrous. When you have such an immoderate attachment or devotion to the work that you're not taking the time to actually listen to how God wants to guide you in that work, not taking the time to assess the efficacy of the work, and not taking the time to rejuvenate yourself spiritually and physically in order to bring your best self to the work. You've lost the spiritual clarity that reminds you Christ is at the center of everything we do. But dig this. God knows how important rest is. And I have to think that even before he created Adam and Eve, he must have known that we would be prone to get addicted to work. Perhaps he foresaw that we would become accustomed to driving ourselves in ways that could break us down physically and spiritually. Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Some of y'all remember that annoyingly popular saying back in the 90s, what would Jesus do? Well, that's the same thing here, right? Because God, Jesus, Father, Son, you get it. Just as Jesus is born into flesh and spent his ministry modeling Christian behavior through his actions, we see God modeling behavior as well. See, God put in some work. All of this, creating us, that's some work. And yet when he was done, his immediate reaction wasn't, all right, on to the next thing. It says, on the seventh day, he rested from all the work he had done. Then he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He makes the seventh day holy. He makes rest a discipline. He ordains it as a practice. He mandates the Sabbath, because we are called to take at least one day of rest. Just as we are called to read scripture, just as we are called to pray, just as we are called to love our God with all our heart, mind, and body, just as we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, we are called to rest. But if you're like I used to be, you might be one of those folks who thinks the harder you work, the closer to God it makes you. That is rubbish. Sister Dana reminded us last week, there is nothing you can do to make Jesus love you more than he already does, just as there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less than he does. Church, I used to be bad. I told you last week that I believed that God had called me into a life of service. And back in the day, I was off the hook because for me, service was 24/7. I had my job in nonprofit community-based healthcare. So I'm spending my day, my time, all my day trying to make sure that people get what they need. I'm, you know, doing overtime just because I want to make sure people are getting what they need. I was a leader in Seawiles Middle School group. I was preaching every now and then. I was part of a social justice organization. So after work and on weekends, I'm going to meetings, I'm giving presentations, I'm attending events, and it's on and it's on and it's on and it's on. And on top of all of that, I was a husband and a father. It's crazy. Throughout the week, we work. And we're like, oh, man, I can't wait until Friday. And then Friday gets there and we're like, thank God it's Friday. Oh, Lord, I am not going to do anything but chill today. I'm not doing nothing. But then Saturday comes. And you look over at that work laptop. And you ease over to that laptop and you pull it up, and you open it up. And you start doing just a little work on that report. Just a little work on that project, just to get a head start for the week. And then before you know it, the weekend has turned into a work day. I was that guy. It got so bad that my daughter Hadassah, who was about 10 at the time, she's younger there, but I love that picture. She started chastising me. She was like, Daddy, why are you working? You're supposed to be like spending time with us. Then she started ratting me out to the wife. Mommy, Daddy got his laptop up and he doing some work. And I'm like, come on, man. You're supposed to be my mini-me. How you snitching on me? I wish I could say that the shaming from my child made me change my ways. It did not. What did was me realizing that my being exhausted all the time was also leading me to get sick on a regular basis. And the only time I was taking to pray was kind of like ceremonial, like before dinner or if we prayed before a meeting. My prayer life was non-existent. I was spending no time alone with God. And eventually, it started making me resent the very work I felt that I was called to do. I had made the mistake that a lot of folks make. I believed that my spiritual growth and well-being would be the result of my hard work, when in reality, spiritual growth and well-being can only happen when you give yourself the space to process and re-energize. God knows we need rest. That's why he establishes the Sabbath, so that we could build in at least one day in our schedule to sit in his presence, take time to worship, pray, or do whatever we need to do to take that deep breath and get our spirit in alignment. Find that spiritual clarity that reminds us Christ is at the center of everything that we do. Now, they say misery loves company. It wasn't just me. Deb, my wife, she was wilding out too, because we both kind of wrapped up and saw that our value was in how hard we worked. But see, I'm a lucky man. I'm a smart man. You know why I'm smart? Because she's smarter than I am. And she started insisting that we do some sort of Sabbath on a regular basis. And we had our fits and starts at the beginning, letting the least thing kind of throw us off rhythm because we was kind of low-key sabotaging because we, you know, didn't, you know, it pressed up against everything that we thought we knew. But I'm going to tell you, we stuck in. We stuck in, and now our Sabbath has become so much a part of who we are that when we can't do it on our normally scheduled day, we got to make it up. We find a way to make it up. And we found what works for us, right? Just as you might have found what works for you. So Saturdays are our Sabbath. We usually get up early, go for a run. Then we come home and for like 3 to 4 hours, we do some Christ-centered reading or other faith-focused activities, writing, praying, something that connects us to God. Then in the early afternoon, we binge watch movies and TV shows. And then in the evening, we go for an urban hike. That's our routine, and it works for us. That time that we take to spend with God, the time we take to shut down and decompress, man, it works wonders. I mean, it's not always, you know, I'm not always fully renewed. Some weeks, some months are harder than others, but most of the time, I come out of our Sabbaths reminded not only that Christ is at the center of everything that I do, but I also am able to appreciate the work I've done. Whether it's the 9-to-5 work or the spiritual work, because I have given myself time to reflect and see where Jesus was in that work. Genesis 1, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. My time of rest allows me to appreciate the accomplishments that come out of the work because it allows me to see where God showed up in that work. It allows me to recognize those places that grew me in new ways and the places where I still need to grow. And if you're like me, you spend a lot of time agonizing over what you didn't get right or where you fell short. That'll burn you out too. When you do not give yourself the opportunity to see the fruit of your work. In my time of rest, I am able to appreciate that there was a family suffering from food insecurity, and I was able to connect them to one of our health navigators who, in helping them meet their immediate needs, recognized that there was something going on with the daughter in the family. She was acting up in school. Her grades were poor. And as that navigator pressed in, they realized the little girl couldn't see. They went and got her eye exam and she needed glasses. So we were able to get her the glasses. And it was a complete turnaround. She could see. Her grades got better. Her attitude in school got better. So a while later, I'm talking to this navigator, and he's like, remember that family, whoop-de-whooped? And he tells me all of this. And I'm like, wow, God is good. And in my time of Sabbath, I was able to just kind of reflect on that, just that chain of action that happened from me connecting this family to God is good. Many of you know that I am very strong in my beliefs, especially when it comes to racial and social justice. Back in the day, I was downright dogmatic. I let you know how I felt, and I was ready to fight if you did not agree with me. And I would argue with you, I would argue you down, no matter the consequences. Now, that kind of passion is good for the energy to bring to activism. It's not very good for interpersonal relationships, just in case you wanted to know. You can't pull people in by pissing people off. So I had to do some work. I had to surrender myself to God and started doing the work, right? I was learning more about what it means to be a good sibling to my brothers and sisters in Christ and to my extended family outside of the church. And as I learned more about what it means to be in community and what it means to be family in Christ, lately, people have been saying some wild stuff to me. They're like, wow, Tim, you're not only passionate, but you're compassionate. The other day, somebody said, Tim, one of your gifts is the way that you make space for other people's voice and you make them feel comfortable sharing their ideas. And I was like, who you talking about? But in my quiet time, I'm able to reflect on how God has been working in me. And I can say, God is good. And it's interesting because, again, when you are in it, when you're trying to do the work and you're so focused on, you know, in this case, trying to be a better person, a more accessible person, you don't normally see it. Having folks speak into that and then being able to take that time to just go and go, okay, yeah, God. Go God, you've been doing something that no one said could be done. Stevie Wonder, you brought joy to my tears. Even Jesus knew the importance of rest. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus stilling off to be alone in prayer on a mountaintop, in a desolate place, in a room alone, finding time to maintain spiritual clarity. Now, did Jesus need to remind himself that God was at the center of everything he did or rejuvenate his purpose of mission? No. But he knew the importance of modeling to his followers that solitude and silence are a way of caring for our souls, and that it is imperative to spend quality time with the Father so we can gain and or maintain spiritual clarity and remind ourselves of what Christ is at the center of what? I'll take it. Church family, this July, we don't want you running around like chickens with its head cut off. You know, we don't want you, oh my goodness, you know, am I being radically humble in my acts of service? Or, oh, do I have everything I need to prepare my spiritual meal prep? Or, oh Jesus, I can't see what you see. That's not what we want you doing. Instead, think about entering July like this. For some of us, that was the most uncomfortable 30 seconds of the day. For other of us, that was like, yes, I needed that. Make sure to dedicate time to put up that do not disturb sign and be intentional about finding time to rest. Find what works for you. Here are some ideas, and you can take them or you can leave them. Dedicate a day or half a day to observe the Sabbath. Or find time to take a walk. Surround yourself in God's creation, whether it's on a hiking trail or on a city street. Maybe dedicate or try to dedicate 3 times in the day to just sit and be still for 5 minutes. Or do all 3. Find what works for you. Be intentional about finding time to rest and give yourself the space to find spiritual clarity that reminds you Christ is at the center of everything that you do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are pulled in so many different directions, Lord. We have so many responsibilities, but Lord, we know that you call for us to rest at least one day. Lord, I would ask that you would just move in us to push against those places that say, no, 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 we got to keep going. We got to keep going. Work, 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 work. And bring us to a place where we know, because you said, because you ordained, because you called holy, a day of rest. And all God's people said, amen.